that the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And we thank the Lord for speaking even this week. We're going to turn in our Bibles just for a few moments to a couple of verses in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20. And verse number 26. John 20 and verse number 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And it's interesting to note there, the Bible says these things are written. This book is in your hand, and the purpose for the Bible and the purpose for Bible school and our meetings is this, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And believing on him, you will have life through his name. We're just going to pray and ask God to help us tonight as we speak to each one here. Heavenly Father, we just pray that tonight, Lord, you will give us, Lord, help in the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with your spirit, I pray. I ask you, Lord, you'll give understanding to the youngest in this gathering and to the eldest and everyone in between. And may we all hear the voice of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do pray that even tonight, souls will put their faith and trust in the living God. We pray, Lord, tonight that you will come into our midst. Thank you for all that's taken place thus far. And may the Lord be glorified even as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in a few days' time, for some people, you are going back to school. And I know there are several teachers in here tonight, and I'm sorry to depress you, but that's the fact. Some people are going back this week, I believe. But children are maybe going back this week or next week, and certainly there are things that the teachers will expect you to remember from last year, way before the summer, okay? And hopefully you will remember them. What do you think is one of the most important things you learn at school? What do you think? Anybody any ideas? What's one of the most important things, in your opinion, that you learn at school? Anything? Yes? Oh, about God. Well, that is good if you learn about God at school. But in your classroom from day to day, what do you learn about? Anything? No. Hard on. Yep. How to read? Yes. How to write? And all of those things. And there's something I want to speak about tonight, and it's something that you are going to be doing in school, something you're going to be using in school, and I hope and pray tonight that as we speak about it, that the Lord will give us some lessons through it. And it is punctuation, okay? Now, if you're going to write a sentence or a story, there's got to be punctuation in it. Otherwise, it's just a bundle of words that make absolutely no sense. Now, I am not going to ask even the adults to put up their hand, but who was sent back to their desk and made to put capital letters and full stops and all of those things in? And I see all the people smiling because we all were there, weren't we? And we tried to write without using punctuation. Now, when you use punctuation properly, it works and you have wonderful sentences and you can communicate clearly. And when you don't, then it's just a mess and nobody knows really what you're trying to say. And I'm going to show you 5 punctuation marks that are very important, and I hope that as we look at them, we will have lessons from them. What is the thing that you need at the start of every sentence? Well done, you're ready to go back to school, aren't you? Capital letter, okay. So at the start of every sentence, there's a capital letter. And a capital letter is also used for names and for places and for things like that. But generally, it's used at the start of every sentence. Every sentence must start with a capital letter. And that highlights the fact that it's the beginning of the sentence. And the capital letter at the beginning of the sentence reminds me that each of us have a beginning. The Bible tells us about the beginning. We have a beginning just like every sentence. We're all born into this world, and we didn't choose what family we were born into. We didn't choose what year we were born or the date. We didn't choose what country we were going to be born into, but we all had a beginning. And in fact, the Bible says about and teaches about the beginning of each boy and each girl, each mom and each dad. And the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us. God made us and formed us within our mommy's tummy, and we were created by God. He watches over us, even in the womb, and he protects us. And not only that, God knows all about us, even from the beginning. In fact, even before we were born, God knew everything about us. God knows everything about every single one of us tonight. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows the thoughts that you're thinking. He knows the words you're going to speak just before you even speak them. And God looks into our hearts tonight, and God sees how our hearts are before him. And we learned a verse, and the young people recited that verse a few moments ago in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And at the beginning of everybody's life, we're born as a sinner. Everyone is born into this world as a sinner. There's only one that was born without sin. Only one that was born holy and good, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I thought about the beginning and the beginning with the capital letter, whenever a boy or a girl or a mum or dad asks the Lord to save them, then they have a new beginning. They have a new beginning. There's a new story. No longer are they a sinner, but they are a Christian, and they are saved from their sin. They're born again. And just the way at your beginning you were born into your family, and you got a name, and you got a home, so too when you become a Christian, you're born again, and you get a new name. You become a Christian. You have a new family, the family of God, and you have a new home, and that's in heaven. And someday, everyone who's been saved throughout all the ages are going to go home to heaven. We're going to gather together, and we will never be separated from anyone anymore. So that's the first thing we think about, is the capital letter, and that teaches us about our beginning. We're born in sin. What comes at the end of most sentences, or should come at the end of most sentences? Anybody help me? Yes? Good man. Full stop. Okay. And that full stop comes, and that means that that sentence is completed, and it means that it is finished. Now, sometimes you can use an exclamation mark or question mark, but most of the time we tend to complete a sentence with a full stop. The sentence has ended. And just as a sentence has a beginning and an end, so too do our lives. And we're not going to live forever and forever and forever. But we have a beginning and we have an end. And that's why it's important to make wise decisions with your life. That's why it's important to use your life wisely. Now, some sentences are long. Some sentences are very short. Some people's lives are very long. There are people, and they can live to over 100 years of age, and you might think that's an awful, awful long time. But if you go and speak to someone who has 100, you'll find that they'll say, time's so fast, it's so quick, and it doesn't seem very long at all. Some people don't get very long in their lives. But when a person's life is over on earth, their soul goes into eternity. And that's what's really important, for there's only two places your soul can go. It can either go to heaven to be with the Lord, and that's for those who are Christians. Those who are saved, they are the ones who are ready to go to heaven. Those who have asked Jesus to forgive their sin and to be their Savior. The other place that people are going is hell. And that is for those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't like to think about hell or speak even that word. But the Bible teaches we need to be saved from our sin and saved from hell. And whenever we become a Christian, we don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to worry about our sin. We don't have to worry about hell. We're ready for heaven. And the good news is tonight, you can be ready for heaven. Now, none of us know when we're going to end our life on this earth, but we can know that we're ready to meet the Lord. We're ready to meet the Savior. There's nothing more important. You know, some people think, maybe boys and girls think, well, when I grow up, I want to have a certain job. Maybe I want to be a farmer, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lorry driver, or I want to be a teacher, or whatever it is. And you think, if I get that, that's the most important thing in my life, and I have to work towards that and get that. Boys and girls, moms and dads, the most important thing in your life is knowing that you're saved. That's the only thing that really matters. Doesn't matter the size of the house you live in. Doesn't matter the clothes that you wear. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket. All that matters really in a person's life is that they are ready to go to heaven because they're saved. I ask the adults in this gathering, moms and dads, grannies and grandies, are you saved and ready for heaven? If your life should come to an end, is that where you will be? Ask the boys and girls, are you going to heaven? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you a Christian? Now, there's another thing that we see here sometimes used and very often misused, And that is an apostrophe. Okay. The apostrophe is used for two things. Apostrophe can be used to join two words together, like can, not, becomes, can't. And you have to use an apostrophe. But also an apostrophe usually is used to show that something belongs to someone or to something. For example, if the coat belongs to Charlie, it's called Charlie's coat, and the apostrophe is put in there to show that that coat belongs to him. See, that's really important that you put them in the right place. Now, whenever we become a Christian, we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord Jesus. And this is a wonderful, wonderful thing, because the Lord Jesus says that we are his. We belong to him now. When we're saved, we're his child. And he takes a special interest in us. He loves us. He watches over us. He cares for us. In fact, in the Bible, it tells us that the God of Israel never sleeps. Now, every single one of us need to get some sleep. Otherwise, we'll be tired. Otherwise, we'll be sick. But if we get a regular time of sleep, but you know, even when you're sleeping, when your eyes are closed and you're dreaming, the Lord is watching over his people. Isn't that wonderful to know? Maybe you don't like the dark, but yet even in the dark, if you're saved, the Lord is with you and the Lord will protect you. Here's some promises that the Lord gives to his people who belong to him. I will never leave you. And sometimes you might feel alone. Maybe in school you feel left out of the group and people aren't playing with you. Maybe at home, mum and dad are too busy and they won't take time to listen to what you have to say. But you know what? The Lord never leaves you. The Lord is always interested. The Lord's listening for your call, for your prayer. The Bible also says for those who belong to him, no man can pluck you out of my hand. That's what Jesus said. We are in the hands of the Lord Jesus. That means we're safe until we get to heaven. And there we'll be safe forevermore. You know, once you're saved forever. You can't lose your salvation. You can't stop being a Christian. But once you belong to Jesus, you always belong to him, because he saves you. And that's a perfect work. And then there's a lovely verse, and it says, my help cometh from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. And we need help, don't we, in life? As Christians, we need help to say no to sin. God will give us help. As Christians, we need help to do the right thing. God will give us help. As Christians, we need wisdom sometimes to make wise choices. And the Bible says if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God and he will give to us. So our help comes from the Lord. So whatever your need is tonight, you can ask the Lord, because you belong to him. And he will help you with whatever you need. And then here's another set of punctuation marks. And it is speech marks. Okay, and those are used when someone is speaking. So if you read a sentence and some words are in these speech marks, you know that the words within these two marks are spoken words. This is what the person has said, or maybe what the person has been thinking. And as I thought about speech marks and about speech and about talking, this week in our devotional time at Vacation Bible School, we were learning about the quiet time. And you should ask your young people, your children, what exactly they learned about the quiet time this week at Bible school. We were learning that the Lord wants us to take a little time every day and to spend it quietly with him, to read his word and to pray. We need to take time to hear God speak to us, and we need to take time to speak to God. Now, why do we need to read God's word? Well, the Bible tells us how to live as Christians. The Bible tells us the things we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. Whenever you get a wee bit older and you start having to make decisions and go out into life, the Bible gives you help for dealing with money, how to deal with friendships, how to deal with sin, how to deal with sickness, how to deal with hurt, how to deal with fear. God has a message for every day and for every circumstance through his word. Imagine if the Queen were to come to Muckerfelt. I would say we'd all be out in the street. We want to hear her speaking. We'd be listening carefully to see what she has got to say. And yet, there's a greater than the Queen wants to speak to you and wants to speak to me. And it is the Lord Jesus, the one who created the world, the one who's all-powerful, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And if you open the Bible and read a little bit every day, God will speak to you. Isn't that wonderful? But not only do we need to take time to listen to what the Lord would say to you, we need to take time to speak to the Lord. And that's so important that we take time every day to pray. And as you pray and read God's word, you'll grow strong as a Christian. You'll make the right decisions. You'll live well for the Lord. And that's why it's so important to speak to the Lord. You need to pray to the Lord. And we were thinking even this week about prayer. And as we pray, how do we pray? And sometimes we need to be reminded of this. As we come to pray, some people think, I don't know what to pray about. Well, here we take the four letters of the word pray. First of all, we need to praise the Lord for who he is. Lord, I thank you. You've created this world. I thank you, you sent your Son to be my Savior. I thank you, you love this world. I thank you, Lord, you made me and you've given me health and strength today. And then remember what the Lord has done for you. Just like Noah coming out of the ark, built an altar and thanked God for saving him. Every day you should remember the day you were saved and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for coming into my life and being my Savior and being my friend. And then ask. There are things that we need in life. We need to ask the Lord for those things. Maybe we need help to tell others that we're a Christian. Maybe we need help to discipline ourselves to read the Bible. Maybe we need help to say no to sin or to stop thinking bad thoughts or stop being disobedient to mommy or daddy. We need can ask the Lord for help for those things. And then yield. Now, that's a strange word, but it simply means just to give way. In other words, say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. Use me. Make me the person you want me to be, Lord. I'm going to allow you to work in my life. And that's a wonderful thing to do. You see, some people praise and remember and ask, but sometimes people don't want the Lord to work or do what he wants. They want to make all the decisions. But if you pray and ask God to help you and to guide you, he will lead you in his path. And that's what we need to do. So speech marks remind us then of talking, the Lord talking to us and us talking to the Lord. You know, it's important to pray. And pray specifically. Tell the Lord what it is you need to pray about. Whenever I was going into secondary school, I came from a class of 8 people into a school where there was 120 people in my year. I didn't know anybody. And that summer, I prayed that God would give me a Christian friend. And I prayed all summer that the Lord would do that. And the very first day of school, we went into the gym to be put into our classes, and this fellow came and sat down beside me. And he introduced himself to me, and it turned out he was a Christian. Now, what I didn't know until a few years later was he was the only other Christian boy in my year. But the Lord brought us together, and we're still friends today, and I thank God for that. You see, we need to pray that the Lord would help us live for him. And in school, pray that the Lord would give you Christian friends. Maybe you're tired. Pray that the Lord would help you. The Bible says if we wait upon the Lord or pray unto him, he will renew our strength. So we thought about the capital letter, and that talks about a beginning. We're born in sin at the beginning, and we can be born again by the Lord Jesus Christ. The full stop reminds us that our life will come to an end, and then we'll go to live in heaven or hell, and we must be ready to live in heaven. The apostrophe reminds us that we belong to the Lord when we're saved, and we're his now, and he will keep us safe until we get to heaven. Speech marks remind us that the Lord talks to us through his word, and that we can talk to him in prayer. And then finally, we have this mark, and it is a question mark. Now, whenever someone asks you a question, or during exam time when you read all these questions and this question mark, it's not there just for decoration. They want you to answer, don't they? And there's questions in the Bible that we have to answer. There's some questions in the Bible. I'm going to leave you four questions, very quickly. Just read them here. First of all, the Bible, the very first question that the Lord asked in the Bible is, where art thou, or where are you? And he was asking Adam and Eve because they had hid from him. They were ashamed and embarrassed because of their sin. Now, God knew where they were, but God wasn't asking them where were they at in the garden. He was asking where they were in their relationship with him. Why are you not coming to walk with me today? Why are you not coming to talk with me today? You see, boys and girls, they were in their sin. And I ask you, are you still in your sin today? Or are you saved from your sin in Christ? Then there's another question in the Bible, a very important question. Some people ask this question this week. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What does that mean? Well, it means to pray to the Lord And as you pray, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I thank you for sending or for coming to this world to die on the cross and shed your blood to wash away my sin. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my life, and I ask you, Lord, to save me. Are you going to do that? Have you been saved? And then there's a question, wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? How can young people live lives that please God? And the Bible says, by taking heed unto the word of God, by reading the word of God and by obeying the word of God. And young people, no matter what temptation there is and no matter what pressure's put upon you, the Lord will give you power to live for him if you ask and follow the commands in his word. But there's one more question, and I want to leave it with you as we close tonight. What will you do with Jesus? That's a question in the Bible. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate asked, what shall I do with Jesus? And he gave him to be crucified. He rejected Christ. And boys and girls and mums and dads, there's two things you can do today with Christ. You can either receive him, you can receive his forgiveness, you can receive his salvation, give him your heart, give him your life, or you can reject him and continue on with that sinful heart toward that awful place called hell. But tonight, God has given you an opportunity to say, Lord, save me. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you would like to be saved. Maybe a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. We'll see after the service. I'll be around for a few moments. Come and speak to me and let me know, and I'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. You don't even have to come to me. Where you're sitting at in your seat tonight, you could bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight. Save me and make me your child. And as I said earlier on in the meeting, some children have done that this week. And we are so blessed and we're so thrilled that the Lord has saved them. What about you? Will you leave tonight without Christ, or will you leave with him?